Today is the octave of Easter. Easter and Christmas are so important in the church year that we celebrate them for 8 days. Eight, of course, is a significant number in the church and in the liturgy. The eighth day is the Lord's Day. If God created in 6 days and rested on the seventh, that's Saturday, what then is Sunday? It's either the first day of the next week or it's the last day of the previous week. And the answer is yes. It's the last day of the old creation of sin and death in Adam. It's the first day of the new and eternal creation in the new Adam, Christ. As he says in that second reading from the book of Revelation, I am the living one. I once was dead, but now I am alive forever. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Everything began in me in creation at the first place, and everything is going to me at the end of all things. And it will be a sharing in God's life forever. So this octave of Easter is really Easter Sunday. And all week long in daily mass, we've been singing the whole liturgy just like we do on Sunday, because we're celebrating Easter Sunday all 8 of those days. We sing the Gloria of each of those days, etc. And we do that sprinkling rite today because of the same thing we did at Easter. And the closing, the dismissal this evening will be the same as last week with the double Alleluia, because it's Easter Sunday. All through the Easter season, we're going to be reflecting on what resurrection means. On Easter, in the Easter season, we always read from the Acts of the Apostles as our first reading. That's a departure from the rest of the year. The rest of the year, the first reading is always from the Old Testament. We never read from the Old Testament during the Easter season. If there are weddings during the Easter season, we don't read from the Old Testament. If there are funerals during the Easter season, we don't read from the Old Testament. Easter season is New Testament readings about the resurrection. And so the Acts of the Apostles is a wonderful place for us to meditate because it's this Luke's story of the first believers and what their initial reaction was to the resurrection and how they came to faith, how they came to life in the resurrection. And so that's going to benefit our meditation all through this Easter season. Today, one of the reasons that gospel reading is used today is because it says that on the same day of the week, in other words, on Easter Sunday, on the same day he rose from the dead, he appears to the disciples and said, "Peace be with you." But Thomas wasn't there, and then a week later, Thomas was with them, so that would be today, 8 days later. Okay? But there's more to it than just that happenstance. This is the end of John's Gospel that we heard today. And the conclusion of John's Gospel is really about one thing, and that is about encouraging people to paschal faith. Faith in the death and resurrection of Christ and our involvement in it. What did it do for Jesus? What does it do for us? And so this thing with Thomas, in fact, all of the resurrection appearances, they are kind of proofs for the resurrection. Jesus eats in front of them because ghosts don't eat. He says, "Touch me and see that I have a body, that I'm not a ghost." You know, these resurrection appearances. But more than proofs, these resurrection appearances are experiences of love. Mary Magdalene encounters the risen Lord at the tomb, and she doesn't recognize him, but as soon as he starts talking with her, she recognizes his voice, and she's in love, and she believes out of love. And Thomas today, you know, he's the doubter. He's the one who is more like we modern empirical scientist type. I won't believe it until I see it with my eyes, until I stick my finger in the nail holes and my hand into his side. You know, it's all this graphic kind of testimony, proof of his resurrection. But then when the moment comes, he doesn't want to put his hands there. He just says, "My Lord and my God." It's a statement of love. He believes because he loves the Lord. And ultimately, we don't have any proofs that are ever going to convince the modern empirical mind. This is a matter of faith. And faith in the resurrection, faith in my involvement in the Paschal mystery, it really comes down to love. If I am in love with the Lord's body, the church, I'm likely going to be in love with the Lord. And likewise, if I'm in love with the Lord, I'm likely to be in love with his body, the church. Years ago, we priests in the Salina Diocese we had a speaker in, and he made a statement that we all laughed at, but it's so true. He said, "You guys, you think these people are coming into the church at Easter because of what you said or the powerful RCIA program that you put together?" He said, "Come on, get over yourselves. It's because they're in love with someone who is that much in love with Christ." How many people come into the church because their wife is Catholic, their husband is Catholic? They are in love with someone who's in love with the church, in love with Christ, and they fall in love because of that. The church testifies even when we're not listening, even when we're not paying attention. Thomas wasn't there the first week on Easter Sunday, but the rest of them were. And they told him, "We have seen the Lord." They held the faith for him until he was ready. And the church loves Christ, her head, loves the church is the bride of Christ. She loves her husband, even when some of us aren't paying attention, even when some of us aren't in love yet, even when some of us haven't really been converted yet. And I'm not talking necessarily about non-Catholics who come into the church, but a lot of Catholics who were born into it. You know, over the years, sometimes I look out there and I see people's lips not moving during the Gloria or during the Creed. What's that all about? Because they're not in love. It's not that they don't know the words. They've been here all their lives, but they're not in love. Or another way of saying it, they're not converted. Conversion is about love. Faith is primarily about love. And you know, you don't develop love, you don't nurture love, you don't deepen love by staying away. You do it by being here. You don't fall in love with the Mass by not coming. You don't fall in love with the Lord by not praying. If you're never conversing with someone, if you were ever in love, you fall out of love. It happens in marriages. People get so they don't talk to each other anymore. How are you going to stay in love if you're not communicating? How are you going to stay in love if you're not saying, "I love you"? If you're not touching each other in that affectionate way that says that even without words? We touch the body of Christ by being here. We get touched by the body of Christ by being here. We fall deeper and deeper in love with God by praying, by conversing with God, by being in God's presence and experiencing the love poured out for us, by opening our hearts to the grace of the Holy Spirit that God wants us so desperately to have. St. Augustine once famously said, "You know, Lord, I spent all my life looking for you, and the big surprise is you were looking for me. I didn't find you, you found me. And I didn't find you at some distant place across the world, I found you right in my own heart." And that's so true for all of us as well. Let this Easter season be a time for us of grace, a time for us to deepen our love of Christ and deepen our experience of his love for us.